From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 17th day of April, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, three Asian nations have signed a food safety and trade agreement. U.S. federal courts are contemplating a federal law designed to limit speculation in the commodity markets, and the International Monetary Fund, that's the IMF, has expressed optimism about the global economy. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then we'll talk with Gary Schnitke, farm management specialist at the U of I, about ACRE. That's the pilot program that came out of the 2008 Farm Bill. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby May contract and the soft red winter wheat down 0.75 cents to settle at 6.15 1/2. July at 6.20 1/4, down a penny for the afternoon. The hard red in Kansas City at 6.40 3/4, up 1 1/4 cents for the day. May corn futures back in Chicago, 6.5 cents lower, 6.16 3/4 the settlement price. The July at 6.07 1/4, down 6, and September futures, $5.41 1/2, a gain there, up 0.75 cents. December futures in the corn pit, up 3.5 at 5.29 3/4, the March at 5.41 1/4, 3 3/4 higher, and the May at 5.49 1/2, up 4 1/4 cents. December of 2013 at 5.30 1/2, up 1 1/2. May bean futures up 5 3/4 at 14.25 3/4 on the lead option. July at 14.31 1/2, 7 1/4 cents higher, and the August soybeans at $14.19 1/4, up 7 1/2 cents. September futures 13.85 1/4, up 6 3/4. November beans at 13.55 1/2, up 5 1/2. January at 13.57 1/2, up 5 3/4. Bean meal 3.93 1/8, up 2.40. Bean oil at 55.76, a dime higher for the day. Live cattle futures finished the June contract at 116.57 1/2, up 42 1/2 cents. May feeders at 153.12 1/2, up $1.20, and June lean hogs at 89.77 1/2, a dollar and a nickel higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil at $104.25 a barrel, $1.34 higher. Ethanol at 2.15 6/10. That's down 4 1/10 cents. And natural gas at $1.94 9/10, 6 7/10 cents lower for the day. Heating oil futures at $3.12 9/10 cents. Diesel fuel, 1 1/3 cents higher. And the gold contracts at $1,650.30. And the lead option up $1.60, the dollar at 79.48, that's down 0.07. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Yet, mostly sunny skies, a high of 67 degrees with a light northwest wind today. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 42, calm winds becoming southeasterly at 4 to 7. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 74 degrees, a south wind at 9 to 16 miles an hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 51, south winds at 8 to 11. And on Thursday, partly sunny skies, a high of 74 degrees. Thursday night, cloudy and 51. Friday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy with a high of 60 degrees Friday. Friday night, a low of 38. Chance of showers continues. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 55. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 37 in the Urbana-Champaign area. And Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 57 degrees. Sunday night, clear and 39. On Monday, sunny skies and 62. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're
listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day here. Have the planters gotten back into the field in your area just yet?
No, it's still just a little muddy over here. We're looking at maybe tomorrow sometime being able to get back in the field. A lot of guys saying they were going to go out and try to walk around the field and see how muddy it was this afternoon, but we'll be lucky back in tomorrow, I think.
They'll be getting anxious, I think, shortly to get back in the field, and this is prime time this afternoon. We'll get finally this week after a little blaze they had in Washington, D.C., the update of how far along producers are in planting corn, maybe even some beans, I suppose, and what the condition of wheat is. That'll happen at 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern time. What do you think it'll show?
I think we're going to be somewhere in the 20 to 21% planted on the corn, Todd. I think we made great progress here last week, and it's really gone in the ground and looking pretty good in most cases. Some of that really early planted corn did get a little nip of frost on it, but I think it was still small enough it's going to come through quite well.
What were the major features of the trading day?
Well, we started out, of course, the Spanish bonds sold better than expected. That put a pop up in the crude oil to start the morning and a little sell-off in the dollar. And we seemed to hold a little bit of strength through the day in the beans and the deferred corn. But the wheat and the corn gave, old crop corn gave way before the end of the day. And that sort of amazed us a little bit as we talked to some of the traders on the floor that are the spread traders. And they're talking that they think the May-July corn spread could go out another dime wider, the May over the July, and yet we saw good volume and the May closing down 6.5 cents today.
It's surprising, but any good explanation in your mind for the reason it happened?
Well, you know, another thing, Bloomberg did a little study here, and it said the specs lowered their net long positions across 18 futures and options that they trade 9.3%, and that's the greatest drop this year. So I think that we're seeing a little bit of exodus of some of the money going into the stock market, as we've seen the stock market crawl back up. So some of the impetus has been on money moving to different areas.
So if the money moves out, it should be a temporary drop in the price. Do you think it'll rebalance very shortly?
Well, I think it's going to depend a lot, number one, on weather, and number two, on China's. You know, we started off the morning with rumors that the Chinese mills, private millers, were asking for more import data, what prices might be, and trying to buy a little more corn. We didn't see any confirmation of the corn purchases here as the day went on. And also, it's talking that we'll see maybe CONAB or some of the rest of them go into next year's crop for buying. So it's going to depend on how tight that is. And, you know, the crop ratings on the wheat, every time they increase a little bit, if you remember the last government report, it said we're going to be using wheat instead of corn for a substitute in a lot of things.
Soybeans managed to stage a rally for the day?
You know, yeah, and it come across the news wires from two or three different folks that the Argentine soy crop may, you know, it started out this morning saying we're down to 44 million metric tons. Another headline today come out and say we might be as low as 42 to 43. Because of some more problems in some areas in Argentina. So, you know, it's going to be hard to really take the old crop beans down sharply with China talking about better imports of the soybeans coming up.
While producers have been out of the field, have they been actively looking into the marketplace and either making new sales, whether that be for old or new crop corn or soybeans, or are they willing to just stand aside at the moment?
You know, a few of the farmers or some of our customers have been calling us and saying that some of the bankers out there have been rather aggressive and telling them they need to have some coverage out here for the coming year, as good as the spring is looking. But the majority of the customers out there are sitting on their hands and thinking we'll see some sort of weather rally down the road.
Are you with them and willing to risk that?
You know, we've recommended some fairly decent sales here early. We're willing to sit on our hands for right now unless there need to be catch-up sales made. I think that, you know, the corn closer to $6 when we made a fair amount of sales, and, of course, the $13 on up in the beans. And, you know, we're still offered some very good prices here. The November beans closed at $13.55. And even with a 40 or 50 cent cash basis, that's above $13 cash beans.
Wayne, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming in its entirety, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, each and every business day. willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's Ag News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In agricultural news, China, Japan, and South Korea have signed an agreement aimed at enhancing food security and boosting trade in agricultural products. The agreement, signed by the agriculture ministers of the three giant economies, was not reported widely. China, Japan, and South Korea are the world's second, third, and 12th largest economies, and in 2011 were estimated to have a combined gross national product of $17.17 trillion. The U.S. held the top position with an estimated GDP of $15.07 trillion. The agreement is significant because it deals primarily with agriculture trade issues, an area that is always one of the most contentious when free trade is being discussed. In papers filed in federal court, lawmakers are defending a provision designed to limit speculation in the commodity markets. Two Wall Street trade groups sued the Commodity Futures Trading Commission in December to overturn the rule on the grounds the regulator did not show that the limits were necessary and underestimated the costs to the industry. In arguments before the D.C. Circuit Court earlier this year, the CFTC said it did not need to prove the limits were necessary because it was acting on a mandate from Congress. A group of congressmen, including the law's namesake, Representative Barney Frank, wrote to the court to support this argument in a friend of the court brief filed yesterday. A group of 19 senators filed a similar brief on Friday. The International Monetary Fund is more optimistic about the global economy after seeing faster U.S. growth and a coordinated effort in Europe to address its debt crisis. The Global Lending Organization says the U.S. economy should expand 2.1% this year. Europe will likely shrink 0.3%, and the world's economy should grow 3.5%. All three of the IMF's estimates are slightly better than its January's forecasts. The IMF praised European leaders for bulking up its bailout fund and taking other signs to address the crisis. The IMF said the crisis continues to loom as the biggest threat to the global economy. Food prices in China mostly fell in the week to Sunday, posting a fourth consecutive week of declines. China's food price movements indicate inflationary pressures, as food accounts for about a third of its consumer price index. Pork, a major indicator of inflation, fell 1.4% in an 11th consecutive weekly decline. Pork prices have fallen 13.7% since late January. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can always pick up off our website before it ever airs on any of our radio stations. The address for the website, willag.org. That's willag.org. Given that next week the Senate may very well take up the
the Farm Bill in Washington, D.C. Thought it might be time to check in on what's happening there. So our guest for Commodity Week this week will be Informa's Vice President in Washington that takes care of policy, Jim Wiesmeyer. We'll talk with Jim on Friday afternoon about 4:30. Post it to the website at willag.org around 6 o'clock Central Time Friday evening. Now up next, we'll check in on how ACRE has proven as a pilot program out of the last Farm Bill with Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the U of I. Let's start by going back through just exactly what ACRE, or the Average Crop Revenue Election Program, is and was meant to do, please, Gary.
ACRE is a part of the 2008 Farm Bill. It's a countercyclical revenue program that farmers could have chosen it rather than the old target price program, and it makes payments based on what happens to state revenue.
Because it may and continues to be part of the new Farm Bill discussion, can you explain how it works?
Yeah, the ACRE program has a state guarantee, and whenever there's a state revenue below the guarantee or benchmark revenue, it will make a payment in that state. This year, we have a benchmark revenue for corn of $641 per acre. If we have state revenue, which would be yield times a market year average price below that, there will be acre payments in the state.
That's for the 2012 crop year?
That was for the 2011 crop year.
For the 2011, so this year being this marketing year.
This marketing year, we won't know acre payments until September, because the marketing year runs for corn from September through August. So we won't know the final market year average price for 2011 till September 2012.
Expectations will be that payments will be made or not?
Our expectations are there won't be any payments made on ACRE for corn in 2011 or for soybeans or wheat. And just to give you a feel for that, on corn, we would have to have a market year average price below $4.14 before we would get a payment. And right now, WASD, the midpoint of the range is $6.20, so that's not likely to happen. So neither are soybeans or wheat. Soybeans, we would have to have a price below $9.51, and wheat, we would have to have a price below $4.99. There's not likely to be any acre payments for corn, soybeans, or wheat in Illinois in 2011.
And then if you look ahead to the 2012 crop, the one to be planted yet this season for corn, soybeans, and wheat is already in the ground for the winter wheat. You can use the same figures because we have both the acre numbers or part of the acre numbers and the WASD figures, or at least the projections at this point.
Yeah, we can estimate pretty closely what the benchmark revenue for 2012 is, and that'll be $7.05 for corn, roughly $7.05 for corn. And if we have state yields near their benchmarks, we would have to have a price below $4.20 to get a payment on acre in 2012. And again, that's not very likely. We're looking at a $6.20 price now, so it would have to fall $2 between this year and next year. And that'd be a 30% decline, and that's only happened once between 72 and 2011.
There is one important note on the WASD numbers as compared to the numbers, I think, that the ACRE program uses. For instance, the WASD figure on the midpoint is based on marketings in the year or what producers actually do. So when we get to the end of the year, and even the projections at this point are suggesting producers were likely to market early in the season, and that if it were to come to fruition and we had a large crop, would bring up the season's average price to a midpoint, as opposed to the marketing year average, which I think ACRE uses, and I don't recall how it is figured.
Market year average price is they take a price, monthly prices, calculate the weights that were sold in each month during the year, and come up with that.
So they use the same figure for both?
Yeah, WASD is trying to come up close to what the market year average price will be. So
okay, so it's not based on just all year long and give me an average price. It's based on actual cash prices then. So there really isn't a difference between those two.
No, nope.
All right. Well, I chased one that we figured out very quickly. Thank you so much, Gary, and we do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Anything on the ACRE program else that we need to cover before I let you go?
farmers, if they haven't enrolled in the acre program, can do so by June 1. And even though it doesn't look like it will pay for 2012, it may still be a good option because it does provide revenue protection.
So there is 1 year left.
There is 1 year.
To go ahead and enroll if you haven't enrolled in previous years.
If you're still in the traditional program, you could switch over to ACRE. If you're in the ACRE program, you can't switch back, but you can switch over to ACRE.
And what do they give up when they enroll?
They give up. The big thing they give up is 20% of the direct payments, and direct payments are somewhere in the $20 to $25 range, so 20% of that would be $2 or $3.
Has ACRE paid out enough to pay for itself at this point?
No.
If you were in for the full 4 years?
If you were in for the full 4 years, no, it hasn't. It made one payment in 2009 for corn, and it hasn't covered those direct costs. Having said that, we've had pretty good years in agriculture the last 4 or 5, so it probably shouldn't have paid either.
Thanks so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. You can find more from him online on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic
commodity report from Illinois Public Media. In just a moment, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, not with Don Day, a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. That comes up at about 4 minutes, but rather with Jim Angel, Illinois state climatologist.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
The warmest March on record turned cold and ugly with the calendar as April arrived. Temperatures the first full week of the month were normal, and that means overnight lows drop below freezing, says Illinois state climatologist Jim Angel.
Temperatures frequently dipped into the 20s and low 30s in central and northern Illinois. With everything running about 3 to 4 weeks ahead of schedule, there was some damage reported to corn, winter wheat, fruit crops, and home gardens. The southern third of the state escaped the freezing temperature for the most part.
Well, those freezing temperatures came with few to no April showers to speak of the first half of the month either, and that set the stage, says Angel, for really dry field conditions.
The days with lots of sunshine, strong winds, and unusually low humidity levels really dried out the top few inches of soil. However, subsoil moisture is largely untouched.
Rainfall is expected this week across much of the state, although the climatologist says the precip will come with lower air temperatures once again, but not as cold as last week. Hey, stay with us, because in just a couple of minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Of course, it's a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Risk Management Commodities, Farm Credit Services, and Steel Star Metal Roofing and Siding. Thank you for your continued support. Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Cheeseball Day. Legend has it that the cheese ball came about in 1801 when Elisha Brown Jr. created a 1,235-pound ball of cheese and presented it to Thomas Jefferson at the White House. On this day in agricultural history in 1629, the first horses were imported to the American colonies. Also arriving to the New World were sheep and goats. In 1790, Benjamin Franklin died. He was an American diplomat, publisher, and inventor. Among his inventions were the Franklin stove and bifocal glasses. He also published Poor Richard's Almanac. The publication appeared continuously from 1732 to 1758. The almanac contained a calendar, weather, poems, as well as astronomical and astrological information. The almanac sold as many as 10,000 copies a year. Over his lifetime, Franklin also helped establish a number of institutions that people now take for granted, including a fire company, a library, an insurance company, an academy, and a hospital. And in 1810, Lewis M. Norton of Troy, Pennsylvania, was issued the first U.S. patent for pineapple cheese. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on the phone line to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don. Take me through what the next week looks like in the Midwest, please.
Well, it looks like a fairly typical middle April weather pattern. Temperatures are going to be about where they've been at. We're not looking at anything that's going to be getting too warm. In fact, temperatures may be just a hair below normal when you add it all up, and we do have some opportunities for some precipitation. Now, initially, the better shower chances are going to be in some of the northern areas. Looks like the Dakotas, Minnesota, portions of northern Iowa. We'll be looking at some good chances for some shower and thunderstorm activity as we get into the Wednesday-Thursday time frame. That system is going to then spread showers and thunderstorms over the rest of the Corn Belt during the day Friday and into Saturday morning. We may see some of the better chances of rain actually in the eastern Corn Belt, as there's going to be a very large area of low pressure coming together over the eastern half of the nation by this weekend. A lot of disagreement on the computer modeling, but certainly many areas of the east, central, east, southeast, and northeast parts of the United States looking at some cold, wet weather this weekend.
Now, I can't believe we were talking about dry and warm weather in March, and now we're at cold and wet. Have we changed the regime to the point that it looks like it's going to be wetter than normal as we make our way through the next month, or is it just a normal spring-type weather pattern?
I would say that we're trending more towards a normal pattern from here on out through the rest of this month and likely into May. One of the big reasons for the very warm March weather pattern that we have is breaking down rather rapidly. And there are some hints in some of the new data coming in today that it has broken down maybe enough to allow a bit more in the way of cooler air from Canada to have an easier time getting into the U.S. For the rest of this month and into early May. Now, that's a trend that we've seen here only in the last day or two. Whether or not it ends up coming true or not is something that we're going to need another week probably to take a look at. But I would say that April, what's left of it, into early May, it doesn't look like we've got any real warm, dry conditions developing, probably trending more towards the cool. The wet is something that we don't see a signature of a lot of wetness, but certainly more wet than it was in March.
So the planters will be able to roll. The weather conditions will just make temperatures a bit colder, I suppose.
It is definitely looking that way. And that's why we always say you don't want to use March a lot of times as an indicator for the rest of the spring. It's a highly volatile month.
And then take a look at China, some of the other growing regions around the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, they have had some more active weather over as we look into Eastern Asia. And right now, the forecast for China is pretty moist. Most of the key China growing areas have some good chances for precipitation. Really, over that whole country, it looks like a pretty active weather pattern. Temperatures averaging close to just slightly below normal.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.